Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, everybody. Welcome in. It's the Buccaneers Radio Network, the Gerald McCoy Show. Every Tuesday night, we sit down with rookie defensive tackle number 93, Gerald McCoy. Good to see you, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and everybody else.
Things are different. Last week, we kind of talked to you directly. It was almost like the shock of what happened was last week. Now it's kind of settling in. So let's take our time through this. First of all, let's go back, what, to Wednesday? When did you have your surgery? When did that go down?
Last Wednesday.
Yeah. How was that, what was that day like for you?
I was nervous because I had never had a surgery before. I didn't know what it was like. But I did a lot of talking, as I usually do, and acted like it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me to get the surgery. I just was kind of nervous, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't like going to sleep without going to sleep on my own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but it went smoothly, man. They put that IV in me, and I thought they were just preparing the IV.
They tell you
and
to count backwards from 100?
No, they was, like, preparing the IV, and then they gave it. They said, hey, breathe in this mask, and they said it'll help you breathe better. So I took two breaths, and then I woke up with something wrapped around my arm. Yeah. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I made it to about 97. They said, count backwards from 100, and, like, saying, oh, I'm a recovery, you know.
Right.
You had your family around you. And, you know, the interesting thing is your family unit has been there through your career, but now your family unit's there at a different, you know, so, and Jeff was kind of teasing you off air that, you know, your sister, you know, you get your arm in a, and we'll talk about what you got on, but what's it, because you've always talked about how your family's your support group, so how have they been there for you?
Oh, they've been great, man. My two sisters were, of course, my one sister lives with me, and my older sister came down from Virginia and helped take care of me. Babied me for a few days. I wouldn't let her. She wanted to, but I wouldn't let her. She said I'm too stubborn for that. And, you know, I tried to do almost everything on my own. And, but she, the fact that she came down and, you know, sacrificed her own time to come make sure that I was okay for a few days was great.
All right, so what was the official word? Now, I heard it was great. I think it was like the next day. I'm not sure if it was an official press release, but you were expected to be back at OTAs. Was that the ETA? So everything's done good with the surgery, but what are you wearing? It's looking very futuristic on your arm.
Yeah,
what is that?
Very robotic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some new brace they have, and it looks like I'm holding like a jetpack.
Yeah.
It looks like I'm holding a jetpack handle, but it's just to keep my arm from rotating because I'm stubborn and I don't like to sit still. That's why I can't get MRIs. And I rotate my arm a lot and I move it. Well, this keeps my arm in place where I can't move it.
Can't rotate the wrist left to right.
Can't rotate it.
Which does make the bicep roll.
Yeah.
It does make the bicep roll.
And it helps,
yeah.
Helps it heal. But me, I just have to be moving. You can't have a guy who moves for a living and, you know, uses his hands for a living, just say, hey, don't use that. Use one arm.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. So.
Well, I broke my arm when I was a kid and I used to, you know, it used to itch. He was trying little things to, you know, get a
I pulled apart a hanger.
There.
I have all plastic hangers, but I had one, you know, one good hanger in the house that wasn't plastic and I took it apart and I kind of bent it up a certain way and I put it. You know, when
it
I had
itches.
My arm wrapped up.
It does.
Splint,
doesn't it itch? Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It was itching this morning when they changed this brace I have on. It was in a splint, kind of like a cast. But, you know, when they changed it and cleaned it all off, I mean, I just was scratching. And I would rub my arms, just rub it. So much dead skin just fell off.
How about when you're
like,
sleeping? When you were sleeping, did you smack yourself in the head with that by accident? Yeah.
Oh no, I just got this one today. I'm sure it'll happen.
So what's what do they tell you your rehab involves? I mean, is it the healing process will be done when and when can you start rehab?
I'll start. Let's see. My stitches are still in. It's been 6 days. Of course, it'll be a week tomorrow, and you got to keep your stitches in for 10 to 14 days. So. Let's say it's 2 weeks before I get my stitches out. Then I can start doing rotations in my hand for about 3 weeks. And then after that 3 weeks is up, I'll be able to bend my arm for about 3 weeks. And then I can get back to lifting. So
yeah, it's always been curious. So let's say you blow out a knee. then you could always still kind of work out your upper body. Or if you hurt your arm, you can still do your running and certain things. So what can you still do, or you've been told nothing for a while? What? How does that work?
I was kind of an overweight child, even through high school up to my sophomore year. Then my sophomore year summer is when I really started losing weight. That's also when I discovered working out. And since then, I've just been like, you know, addicted to working out. So if I'm not working out, I feel like something's wrong with me. So I've been trying to do something. I even figured out a way, and I told my trainers today, and they said, you better not ever do it again. I figured out a way to do push-ups with this brace
on. It's good to know, Gerald. That's
And they said, stop it.
I'm not a doctor, but I agree with them, all right?
But I've been working. I've been working, you know, my legs and trying to make sure I do abs and stuff at night. Came in, did some cardio today. So, you know, just little stuff. I can't, you know, just say I want to binge eat where I usually could. I can't do it anymore because I'm not working out the way I used to.
Last week during the Redskin game, you got hit or you got hurt early. You went in, you came back in street clothes. I remember seeing you in the cold weather gear and you were talking to the D-line. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you were fired up. You were. That was kind of like during the injury. You know, that's the game. This is coming into this game. You're showing up in street clothes. You're having to stand on the sideline in a cast. Has that ever happened to you in your career before? No. And what was that like?
No. I've never had to do that. And, you know, I showed up regularly like game day, but I knew it was a little different when I, you know, see my IR. And they gave my parking spot to a guy that they moved up. So, you know, they moved somebody up, they give my parking spot. So, I didn't have my parking spot. So I pull in and I have to park at a different spot. Then I didn't go through where the fans are always waiting on us. I didn't go through there. I came in later than normal, but I got dressed up as if, you know, it was regular game day, like I was playing. But you know, when I got dressed, when everybody was getting dressed, you know, some people walk out on the field first and some people just sit around the locker room. But when it's time to get dressed, they put on their pads, pants, all that, and get taped. When I got dressed, just threw on sweats, tennis shoes, jacket, and it kind of set in then when I walked out on the field and, you know, the D-line ran out and I was just watching everybody warm up. And,
missing the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, I still had it. Anybody who was in the stadium still seen me jumping up and down and, you know, going crazy for the team because just because I'm not playing doesn't mean I can't support my team as if I was playing or, you know, things of that sort. But, it was a rough day to watch.
Do you
have
your sister or your dad? Did anybody contact you that day specifically?
Mm-mm.
Going in? No?
No. Not really.
That's Gerald McCoy right there, 813-990-4620. It is Tuesday night, the Buccaneers. Yeah, it stings a little, but guess what? You know, it's kind of weird. Jeff Ryan said to me after the game was over, he said, yeah, we lost, but guess what? Everybody else we're in the race with lost too. So it's almost like you're basically went from 3 weeks left and a chance at the playoffs to 2 weeks left and a chance at the playoffs. So, but the scenario kind of changed a little, and we'll talk about that as well. Also, obviously, towards the latter part of your program, because you are a man of faith, and I'm sure your faith is being tested right now. And you'll be talking about that later on. But I do want to get your take on what it was like to almost be player coach on the sideline. And, you know, and when you're talking to, the Al Woods and the different guys that were out there and the Frank Oakhams and the guys that were doing their best to fill the void of, you know, of you and BP, you know, a couple of guys that are now on the IR list. So we got a little bit to talk about when it comes to that. But, of course, you know, we're not going to treat this like a funeral. The Buccaneers still got two games left. That could mean double-digit wins. And, of course, you know, you guys take care of business. And we got to root for the Atlanta Falcons. You're going to want to root for the Falcons, by the way? They got to beat the Saints.
Yeah, no, but I will.
Well, start rooting for them. Because
definitely.
3 weeks ago, we didn't like them at all, did we?
No, I don't really like the Falcons, but we need them to beat the Saints.
Exactly. This week, we love the Falcons for about 3 hours, and then
we'll
stop again. All right, guys, we'll come back and take your phone calls, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. It is the Gerald McCoy Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Have you heard about Toyota's new 8 Series 4-wheel electric AC lift truck? The most powerful AC electric Toyota's ever built. The newly designed AC system allows the 4-wheel electric to achieve greater travel and lift speeds while increasing productivity with improved run times. With the proven safety of Toyota's revolutionary system of active stability, Toyota's 4-wheel electric offers unprecedented safety. Contact your authorized Toyota industrial equipment dealers, Florida Lift Systems, or Southern States Toyota Lift at 1-800-226-2345 or SSTLift.com.
Now return to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back, Buccaneers. Total access shows run throughout the week. It is the Gerald McCoy Show. What are you giggling at over there? What are you giggling
at? Nothing, man.
Oh, okay.
I love life.
Oh, all right. Good. It's good to see you laughing, man, because if I, you know, I'm not a professional athlete, but I do remember one time in a high school career where I couldn't play with my buddies, and it was just such a different feel. You felt connected to your players, but there's a completely different feel when you're actually part of the game. Did you feel a little bit of a separation? Did you feel like, I want to help, but I can't? Or did you feel like, I'm a buck,
yeah,
I'm surrounded? What did that feel like?
I felt like I was in a cage, man. I'm just sitting there just watching. I mean, it's
fidgeting.
Yeah. It's like an example. It's like a kid waiting for Christmas to come. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to be out there, but you just can't. You just got to wait. You just have to wait. You know, and that's just what it was, man. I was just – felt like I was just locked up.
A little helpless, because a normal game, you come out a couple of reps, someone comes in to, you know, sub for you, you're watching the plays. Let's say we get gashed for a run, you're like, okay, it's okay, I'm going back in a second here. But now that happens and you're standing on the sideline, what did that feel like? I can't, you see something.
You can't do anything.
You see something you want to fix,
you
gotta
watch
can't.
It. You know, I mean, you could try and yell out there, but I know personally, when you're out there, you can't hear from the sideline. You just have, if you look. Me, after every play, I look to the sideline because I don't know if my coaches – I've done this since college. After every play, I look to the sideline to see if my coaches try to show me something, signal me something, you know, say try this move,
sure,
on the next play,
yeah,
whatever.
Or if a defensive signal change or seeing
anything,
substitutions coming
you
in.
You always need to look,
yeah,
to the sideline.
Sure.
You know, so I know as a player you don't hear anything, so I could yell out there, but they're not going to – listen to me, they're watching coaches, you know, so I just had to sit back, and if something happened, I just get upset. Dang, come on, fellas.
All right,
you know.
So we cover the spectator.
Right.
By the way, Mike, stand by. We're coming to you first, and everybody else, you can get in behind Mike, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. So we've dealt with the injury and how frustrating it was for you. The game itself, it's hard to talk about because every time we've talked football, you've talked about, well, we tried this, but this time around you're going to have to refer to your brethren, your teammates that were out there trying to stop a Detroit Lions team. You've had some tough wins. Where does this rank for you? I mean, I'm sorry, tough losses. Where does this rank for you?
Is it, yeah,
is
this
as frustrating as Atlanta?
Or, yeah.
You know, where does that
sit? Yeah, it probably was.
Okay.
I
mean the team.
Mean
the team. Okay.
Right,
okay.
Right. The team. This was a must-win. I think this was more of a must-win than the Atlanta game. You know, we really needed to win the Atlanta game, but us winning in Washington kind of put us in control of our own destiny. And we needed this one. We needed this one to, you know, because – even if we went out, we have double-digit wins, but 11 looks better than 10, you know?
Unless you're in the NFC West. You can win it with 7-9.
Right, right. But, you know, you just like to win that one, man. You know, we are – it seems like we're playing better on the road for some reason. You know, at home, we –
there are lapses.
I don't know, yeah.
There are lapses, right, in home games. Yeah, sure, I'm there.
Our last two home games, yeah, we didn't win.
Yeah.
You just like to protect your house. You like to win at home. So.
Let me ask you, as the young team, Mike, I swear we're coming right to you, but just you're generating questions for me here. As the young team, there's always this lesson in the loss. What, going through the fire of the tough defeats, the Atlanta defeat, this is a tough Detroit defeat, what can this young team take from it and turn into a positive?
You know, we just got to play smarter. We just got to play smarter. And when we have that edge, we have to keep it. As far as you know, me, I only speak on the defense. And honestly, I'm cautious to even speak about the defense in this game. I watched it, so I can't say, well, they should have or we could have or because I wasn't out there. So, you know, but just from what I learned from watching, when we have a team backed up as much as we did, we got to keep them down there. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's just from a defensive standpoint. If you have a team backed up, keep them pinned. And we had the Lions backed up a lot, and we let them off the hook.
All right, guys, we're going to the phones. Appreciate you hanging on. Chris, you're on deck. We're coming to you right after Mike. Merry Christmas, Mike. Welcome to the Gerald McCoy Show.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. How you guys doing this evening?
All right.
All right, listen, man, I just want to say, you know, I've been a Bucks fan for many, many years, and, you know, you guys are awesome out there. You guys work hard all the time, and, you know, you guys do great out there, and I think your offensive defense have been great, and I think a lot of people as far as fans don't realize how tough it is out there being a pro football player, and, you know, I know you guys have a new coach, and I think he's great. I met him one time at a restaurant a couple months back in Tampa and wished him all the luck, and, you know, how do you think with everything going with the new coach and all the players, and, of course, nobody likes to lose, of course, but either win or lose, you guys give 110% all the time. But how do you think the team morale is right now? I mean, how's it been all year with the new coach and everything that's been going on?
Thank you, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Appreciate that question, Mike. One thing you'll never be able to say about the Bucks this year is we didn't play hard. We're always going to play hard. We're going to give it all. We're not going to fold. Sometimes it looks like, you know, Pittsburgh game, Saints first game, mm-hmm. You know, it looks like times where we folded or gave up. If you go back and watch the film, we played hard the whole game. And
playing hard is run right. Until the whistle, right?
Yeah.
To you? Is that the definition to you? What is playing hard to you? Give me a definition. If you're seeing something on film, you go, we played hard. What are you seeing?
Well, if the play starts here and I'm on the backside of a play, but when the film – before it cuts to the next play, you see me running the camera. You know, I mean,
you might not make the tackle, but you got in the frame.
I'm running to the ball. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm swarming. That's playing hard. If you try and come off a block and you hit somebody's foot and fall, as soon as you hit the ground, you get right back up and you run to the ball. It don't matter if you're down by, you know, 2 or 200. That's playing hard. You know, and if you turn on our tape, you'll always see that. We play hard. There was a play where the Lions threw a screen, and Styles rushed from the right side of the line, and the guy ran all the way down, almost got the first down. Styles ran him down from the backside to stop it.
Across the field
Across the field and diagonal. You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's playing hard. We didn't stop him at times when we needed to, but stuff like that you could take from this game, and that's just been us all year. And that's going to continue to be us the next two games, and we're going to carry that into next year.
It's Gerald McCoy. It's the Gerald McCoy Show Tuesday nights on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Want to talk to him? Get on the phones. We got open lines, two open lines, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS is always a good way to get in as well. We're going to Chris. Chris, you're on with Gerald. Welcome to the show, and Merry Christmas.
Hey, lads. How's it going?
Good, brother.
Gerald, how's it going there? You know, sorry about your injury there and a couple of tough losses, but I tell you what, as a longtime Bucks fan, we're still in this. I'm still very excited about the possibilities coming up here over the next 2 weeks, and not just the next 2 weeks, but the next, I'd say, next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yep.
And because of what we have a young nucleus that's just doing nothing but improving every week, so that's exciting to me. And General, as far as your injury, I heard, I believe it was Steve Young, who was a longtime veteran. He said, you know, when he spent some time on the sidelines, you know, his injury was unfortunate. The only thing I could take positive from you, about the only thing you can do is like what you and Ledge have been talking about. While you're on the sidelines, like Steve Young said, I couldn't do anything physically, but I could work on my knowledge. And he said, I could work on my viewpoint of the game. So he just basically was able to see his position and watch it and hear all the stuff going on the sidelines that you don't normally see because you're out there. So that's the only thing, Gerald, and that's going to work to your advantage. I know the injury sucks, and, you know, it is what it is, but the best thing you can do, my friend, is just sit there and get a different viewpoint of the game from where you're at right now, and it's going to help you next year. And that was coming from Steve Young, who's been around the game a long time. So God bless you, man, and that's about the best positive way I can look at this, man.
Thanks, Chris. God bless you, too. And Chris has a
he's a glass a half point. Full. He's yeah. a glass half full guy. Yeah. I like this guy.
Chris yeah, sure. has a great point there, and I've actually been doing that. I can't do anything physically, but from the sideline, what I was doing is I was watching the three technique or the nose or different things and seeing what was happening. And when my teammates, fellow D linemen would come to the sideline, I would say, hey, look, you should try this. Maybe you should narrow your feet when you do your movement. Maybe you should come here and then come back. Fake here, go to, you know, I was,
sure.
oh, you know, yeah. because I could see it from the sideline, and that's how I do my part. When Coach Moore says he needs all 61 of us, that's what he's talking about. He needs everybody on game day, and I was just trying to do my part, but it also, by me doing that, it also helps me for when I can get back out there, the things I can work on, and well, I seen this when I was standing there, so let me
it's
try.
It's almost like you see it third person.
Right.
You see someone else doing what you do, and then right. you say, well, then you think back to if you did that. Mm-hmm. And so it's also it's an observational education at the same
right.
time. That's very cool. You know, I wrote down the phrase cutting their teeth because when I think of a Myron Lewis or a Biggers or a Corey Lynch or, you know, even someone like maybe an Al Woods, I think of a young team as a fan, as you look at them, and like our caller Chris was talking about, it's very, the future is very, very bright for this team because he used the word nucleus, and I like that.
Right.
As in, sometimes it's tough to watch people learn on the job, you know, because let's say, you know, you go back 4 or 5 weeks and you're watching a game film and you're not real happy, and then you took what you didn't do, and the next day you apply it, but you're still technically learning on the
right.
job. You guys just happen to have 8 wins while you're doing it, chance to get the double-digit wins. So Mark Dominic or Raheem Morris or everybody else in this organization that has this goal to build this nucleus, build a franchise quarterback, surround him with talent, build a defense from the middle out, surround that with talent, we all are starting to see that gel. But you guys are kind of like, you know, you're the ones making it happen. Is that frustrating for you because you know you guys can win games and you expect to make the playoffs already? Where is the young team looking at itself? Because we know how the fans are looking at the young team. So how do you guys look at it? You understand, after my analogy, what do you guys think of that?
Well, we definitely look at ourselves and expect to win. You should go into every game expecting to win. Coach Raheem called it race to 10 because that's what he meant. He wanted to be the first team to get the 10 wins. Well, now we are still focused on that goal. It's not out of reach. We have 2 games left. We have 8 wins, 2 more wins to get us to 10. And we still focus on that. And we go into our next 2 games expecting to win, just like we came into this last game and the game before that expecting to win. We just fell short, but we always go into a game expecting to win, and when we do win, it's not like, oh, my gosh, we won. It's not like that because we know how hard we work. We know what we put into it. This vision that I always speak about that Mr. Dominic and Coach Raheem has, we bought into it, and we believe it. So when we get this win, it's not a surprise to us.
You saw Dominic and play in college.
You
saw Calvin Johnson. You've in each of your we'll call it 14 NFL games, even though technically you've played 13. You've seen NFL talent at different positions. You've seen some beast running backs. You've seen some studs in both sides of the field. I'm curious about your opinion of Calvin Johnson.
He's huge. You can't,
specimen.
You can't really say anything about, like, you come out, when I came out, I actually know him. So when I seen him, he was like, hey, what's up, Gerald? I was like, man, I ain't seen you up close in person in past. You're bigger than me. he's huge. And I actually went to EJ Biggers and Myron Lewis today and I went and shook their hands. I looked them in their eyes, and I said, thank you. And they said, what are you thanking me for? Because you stood up like a man and guarded that guy as tough as it was, as hard as it was, you know, to defend him. Y'all didn't complain. Y'all didn't say anything about it. Y'all just took it. And y'all took it as a challenge. And a lot of people will, you know, look past because we lost or they made that final field goal. A lot of people will look past the fact that Myron Lewis had to guard Calvin Johnson one-on-one for that last play when they floated it to him, when all game they were doing the same thing and he would catch it. Well, now it's time to stand up and make a play. Myron Lewis, a rookie, going against a Pro Bowl receiver.
Guy's a top three receiver in the league. I'm right. Sorry. He is the most physical, large, fast.
I mean, that guy.
He's impressive.
He's on another level. And for a rookie to come in who hasn't had all year experience, he's played in games, but he played a full game, and he has to play against a guy like that. And then when it's time for him to stand up and make a play, he did. A lot of people will look past that because we lost. But that right there is an example of the types of things you can take from a game like this.
Let me add to that. We were watching the final. The drives are mixed up. I'm not sure if it was the drive they tied it with or the drive they won it with. But Biggers made – no, it was the drive they tied it with because the clock was running.
Right.
And Biggers made a tackle inbounds to keep the clock running. Yeah. They were out of timeouts. And he looked like – nothing against Biggers, but he looked like a kid tackling a man.
When Calvin Johnson caught that ball, and it looked like exactly. He was going to the end zone?
No, it looked like he was going to get out of bounds and be able to stop the clock. Because remember, they had to run up and spike it. And I was like, man, Biggers just totally sold out. And what a tackle. What a great open field tackle on a guy that's almost two times your size. Right. So, again, that's what I said, cutting their teeth. Sometimes it's difficult. You're in for a Pro Bowl-type cornerback like Aqib Talib, who probably could have, you know, I'm not going to say you take Calvin Johnson out of a game, but he probably wouldn't have had 10 catches, maybe six, you know. And Biggers and Myron Lewis have to step into those big shoes. Right. And this, it's like a baptism by fire. It really is. So,
you miss a guy like Aqib Talib in a game like that because he's a taller, bigger corner.
Physical.
Who can run.
Physical.
And he will he'd jack a receiver up, and, you miss a guy. He had six interceptions. I think he's tied for second in the league or something like that, you know.
And he's missed how many games?
Right.
Yeah.
And he's a Pro Bowl caliber corner. And, but that's a great thing about this team. You had two guys stepped in and played their hearts out as hard as they could on a Pro Bowl caliber receiver.
And the upside of that is like when we look into next year and we're mid-season and our backups have game starting experience, that creates the D word, depth.
Right.
And, boy, we're so – you know, what are we looking at, Jeff? Eight starters that are on IR now? I think we were seven. Eight starters, but 12 total. We didn't lose James Lee. We didn't lose James Lee. But he did. We didn't miss him for the game. Because he tore or twisted his ankle, but the downside is we're kind of going into this final playoff run banged up. The upside is, as fans, we look and I was talking with Buddy the other day. I go, man, the reps that these guys are getting is going to pay off in the long run, because next year when they're all second year, third year players and they really start to gel, it's. You know, I guess you could say the baptism by fire was worth it. Right now, it's a little harder to swallow because it's tough to lose that many starters. But the upside is two games left. Let's get you guys on the phone, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll come back and do the second half of the Gerald McCoy Show as we get ready to take on for the final home game this season. Remember, if we manage to make it in the playoffs, we will be a wild card team. So regardless, we will definitely be heading out of town for our playoff game, and we're going to keep our hopes alive for that. So the bottom line is, if you want to come see your Buccaneers, this is the game to do it. Seattle is traveling here. They do not travel well. We've already taken on the Cardinals and beaten them. We've already gone out and beaten the 49ers. We are doing our best to go 3-0 against the NFC West and really make that push for the playoffs. And, of course, we'll need some help, but let's take care of it. Bottom line is, we'd love to have you out there at Raymond James Stadium. Go to Buccaneers.com to find out more about how you can get yourself a ticket for this weekend's game. We'll come back and take more of your phone calls right here on the Gerald McCoy Show at 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035.
Welcome back to the second half of the Gerald McCoy Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Scott Ledger along number 93, Gerald McCoy, taking your phone calls at 1-800-596-BUCKS or 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. Going right back to the phone, it is Jimmy in Sarasota. Jimmy, welcome to the program. Merry Christmas. You're on with Gerald McCoy.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, too. Basically, Gerald, how you doing tonight?
All right, how you doing?
Can't complain. Even if I did, it wouldn't do me any good, man.
I like that.
Well, I wanted to make a comment first how impressed I was by how strong you came on the last few games before your injury.
Oh,
and I'm very welcome. And I'm a Bucs fan, born and raised here in Sarasota, and I was kind of upset when Gruden left. I was really feeling like the team was kind of cutting off its nose and biting its face. But with all the moves Dominic has made and the great picks in the draft and how well we've played under Raheem, I just am really impressed with what Raheem has done. I really didn't see it coming. And I was just kind of wondering as to what you thought might change in our scheme defensively in the future as far as maybe getting a little more beef in the middle as far as in the second level, maybe stopping the run a little bit better.
I'm not sure. You know, that's up to the guys upstairs. I'm just a player. And they're going to put the best 11 out there. And whoever the coaches decide needs to be out there, that's who will be out there. And that's all I'm going to focus on. It really doesn't matter which 11 they pick. It really doesn't matter which draft picks they bring in. It doesn't matter who across the league they bring in. Us as a unit and as a family, we're going to always play together. And, definitely plan to be back a lot stronger, coming off his injury. People kind of forget that Brian Price is still around. Mm-hmm. And he will come back, and we will be back together a lot stronger. And, it really doesn't matter who's in the middle.
Is Brian here? Because I know you guys did the rookies did the thing for the – you're all dressed up in the Santa Claus outfits. I saw it on the
website. Right, he is back.
So is Brian back?
He's back.
Yeah, okay.
Brian Price is back around for all you fans who have been wondering. He is back around, and he's looking good, and rehab is going great.
What did you get when you had your injury? Obviously, he had his, but you had to concentrate on football. What have you guys talked about when it comes to injuries? This is getting
well. We know we both have to come back real strong coming off injuries that shorten our season. Both got put on IR. Were the first two picks for the Bucs this year, so people are expecting big things from us. But we expect big things from ourselves. And we sat down and talked and said, when we come back, we're going to come back storming. And we're going to mess stuff up when we get back, because we both going to be hungry, man. You never want to take an animal's food from them. They just
– Nice analogy.
It makes them even more hungry, sure. And they get angry. And that's kind of the mentality that me and him have and this team has. And this team is going to continue to have, regardless of who's out there on the field, the coaches. We're going to go out there with our best 11 or our best 22, whatever you want to call it, or our best 53, best 61, whatever our coaches and GMs and owners put together, that's what the Bucs are going to be, and we're going to come out storming like we always do.
Josh, not that you're Josh. You wouldn't have to study film and concepts and defenses like Josh did in his offseason. In other words, from his first season going into his second season. But everybody has seen what that homework or that extra work did for him. What can
Freeze
it
a different player. He's a completely different guy.
God,
and I wasn't around here.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't believe me when I say I was really a Bucs fan. So when we were not losing, I'm saying we because I'm on the team now. When we were not winning last year, it was bothering me. And just like I'm a Lakers fan, Oklahoma City Thunder fan. When they don't win, it bothers me. So when the Bucs were losing, it was bothering me. And I just kind of was like, oh, come on. And, I would watch Free play, and I played against him in college. And I knew how good he could be. And that's starting to come along. And that's just, this is really, if you want to be honest, Free played last year, but this is really Free's rookie year. Mm-hmm. And he is playing amazing. And just what you see in that guy and the potential he has. There was a throw he made. I think it was Sue had him wrapped up, and he kind of stiff-armed him, and his jersey was stretched out, and he wasn't even falling, but he leaned. He kind of extended his body backwards and threw the ball to Ernest Graham, you know.
For a first down.
I mean, it's and the throws he makes.
How many people can stiff-arm Ndamukong Suh?
Right. stiff-arm him.
I know.
And then back up. Steal with your jersey being pulled and make a throw the way he did. I mean, yeah. It was right on the money. It ain't like it was a bad throw. You know, Ernest Graham just stood there and he just caught it. And he didn't have to extend a new nine. He just caught it. I mean, plays like that, man, when he knows when he needs to make plays with his feet, you just see how he's changed just from last year. And that's the type of transition and change me and Brian Price plan to make.
Exactly. That's how that question started, right. That's what you guys are hoping to do, right. Improve in that set. In the off season, would it be studying a lot of film? Are you planning on doing a lot of homework, or is it more of a physical thing? Rehab aside, not rehab.
Rehab is rehab.
Yeah.
You know. I'll be back. Okay. I'll be back. You know, people wonder, well, will you be back? I'll be back. I'll be fine. I plan to come back stronger than I was before. Physically stronger than I was before. And then mentally stronger than I was before. Because now, okay, going in as a rookie, you hear, well, you need to learn this. You know, just play your game. Don't try and do this. Don't try and do that. I have a year under my belt, and I feel like I've been playing for a few years because I've seen a whole lot because of how many snaps I've played and how much my coaches have depended on me and how much I've been in key situations.
In multiple positions,
right.
By the way.
In multiple positions. Well. So I know, you know, I've seen how different offensive linemen block, different tricks they have. Now I know what I need to work on and what I need to learn.
Sure.
In the offseason. I know I sat down and talked to Barry Rood, who's a great leader, by the way, and I think he just got some award, saying that he does everything right on and off. Well, as a Buccaneer, he does everything right, and I forget who gave him the award, but he's a great leader.
It was about fundamentals, right. Football fundamentals.
Right, and he's a great leader, man. He kind of sat me down and showed me how to watch film. So now I know how to do that better, and there's a lot of different things I will do in the offseason that will change my game completely.
It's the Gerald McCoy Show, Christmas Day or Christmas week of version, because next time we do a show, it'll be after Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, by the way. I don't think I even
Same to
that.
You.
Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, 727-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. I see you holding your arm up there, and I'm kind of wondering what's going on over there. Is it a numbness? Okay,
sometimes I get some sharp pains in my arm.
All right. Just want to make sure. Because we can go to a break.
You hold it in the wrong spot sometimes. It kind of gets sore. So.
All right. Hey, let's – you know, you mentioned the Lakers, and you're a huge Hoop fan, and a little bit off the air we were talking. Give me your quick NBA update, like you're Ahmad Rashad for me.
Oh, man. You know, I'll talk about a few teams. The Thunder are vastly improving. As always, they have so many dynamic players. Kevin Durant has, he lived up to his name. Last year he had that streak of 25 points for, 28 games or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Sick amount of production.
And he's kind of changing his game. Everybody knows he can score, but now he's passing, playing better defense. And Russell Westbrook he's amazing. He's incredible, man, and they just have so many great players on that team. But, my team is the Lakers. They're winning, but they're not winning in the, fashion that I believe they should be or know that they can. A lot of people will say, well, the Lakers are, they know they can win, and in the playoffs they turn it on and all that. That's an excuse. Kobe Bryant is – one of the, most fierce competitors in sports today. He is.
You still feel he's in his prime?
Yeah.
Or he's in the twilight of his career?
Kobe is what he wants to be. That's what I feel. Okay. I mean, if he wants to be in his prime, if he want to go out there and score 50, he will. You know, if he wants
to,
he will.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, but he's one of the most fierce competitors in the game, not just basketball, in sports, in anything. He's just a fierce competitor.
Think he's underrated?
Kobe?
I don't mean underrated because he's a superstar. But, I mean, the way you're talking about him is like, you don't think – people said the most fierce competitor in sports.
Right.
Would his name come up in conversation?
Yeah. I think it would.
Okay. So he's not underrated.
No, he's not. No, I think it would. And, you know, the Lakers are just – they do that thing. And Christmas Day is coming up, and they will play a Miami Heat team who has been amazing lately. They went on a 11-some-odd game win streak, something like that. People, you know, 2 days before, people would like to say a week before, but 2 days before, people were saying, I don't know if, you know, the big three in Miami is going to work. And now they've been scoring 72 of the team's points and, you know, just like ridiculous numbers.
San Antonio?
Yeah. You know, the Lakers are, what, third, fourth in the East or something like that? I mean, in the West.
Yeah.
And it's just basketball is basketball. But team that, you know, I'm not afraid of Miami Heat. I'm not. People will say, oh, well, whatever. No, I'm just not.
Christmas Day, you're
going to
know.
Team that bothers me is
know.
The Celtics.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the Celtics, they just, man, they like on a 14-game win streak. They just putting people away. The Knicks have surprised me. With Amari Stoudemire, you know, he's scoring 30 like it was nothing, like it was 10 points. He was just getting 30 points a game. It's easy. So the Knicks have stepped it up. The Bulls have been playing well. But Celtics, they've been the most impressive so far to me. Celtics and the Spurs.
Stand by, Barry. We're coming right to you. You mentioned something about Miami doing well, and obviously they get off to a rough start. I wanted to ask you about pressure. Because sometimes you say, you know, you come in as a high draft pick or what they did, you know, the decision, all these things where you feel the weight of expectations on your greatness. Do you think that they felt pressure early on? And if you felt that same kind of pressure, can it truly, really affect your performance?
I think they did. I think they did. You know, those guys, you have a guy on that team who had his own special. He had his own ESPN special just to tell everybody. It's like National Signing Day for the number one player in the country. I mean, that's – but times a thousand, you know. He had his own special, so he's arguably the best player in the world. You know, I think it's Kobe, but a lot of people will argue that and say it's LeBron. He's amazing. The things he does – it's out of this world. It's just unreal, the things he does on that court. You have a guy like that, but then you have a Dwayne Wade who, you know.
Who has a ring.
Who has a ring and has been so great for that team. They call that place the County of Wade instead of the County of Dade. You know, like Wade County? Yep. Really? I mean, he's been that great for that team. And then Chris Bosh, who's carried Toronto for years. You bring those guys in together. Who doesn't expect – you know, amazing things immediately. Two of the most athletic guys in the game on the same team. Two of the fastest guys in the game on the same team. You just expect great things. And those guys.
Were they thinking too much? Because I'm thinking about your first five games.
Yeah. I mean,
you just let your natural ability take over.
Instead of just playing your game.
Sure, exactly.
Doing what you do and gelling and just letting your talents and playing and being you on the court. Those guys were trying to do too much, trying to do things that wasn't them, and now
so it transcends
they relax.
Sports.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of affects your performance more than you know, because you want to do this and you're thinking, oh, well, I got to score this many points, I got to get this many assists, I need to get this many rebounds, I need to get this many sacks. You know, it can affect your game till you just relax and play. Then they turn into completely different players. It works with me. It's worked with those guys. All three of those guys are averaging 20-plus points a game now, whereas you couldn't get Chris Bosh to score, you know, barely 10. LeBron, he was having 8 and 9 turnovers. You don't see that. D-Wade, he couldn't do nothing. He couldn't hit a shot. Now these guys are basically unstoppable.
Relaxing.
Because they've relaxed, and they're just playing their games and letting it gel.
Let's go to the phones. Barry, appreciate you hanging on, buddy. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the Gerald McCoy Show.
Barry.
Barry, you there, brother?
I guess Barry doesn't want to talk to us.
Yeah, you know, that you see it in baseball all the time. Yeah. You see a guy move from one league to another. You know, he's hits 30 home runs, comes into another team, and hits 9. So, you know, it's amazing how much the physical, even the ability that you have or anybody else has, can be dictated. Next couple of games for the Bucks. What do you feel is or what do you hope your role is going to be, bro? I mean, what do you want to do? This week. Are you here at practice? Are you attending meetings? What's the next couple of weeks like for you?
Yeah, yep. I'll be in meetings because that's the only way you grow as a player. I definitely will. I want to be around at practice to help guys in certain situations, you know, give guys advice. Well, you should try this here. Well, when I was watching film, I seen this. Definitely all week next week. I may miss a day this week because my family's in town. Mm-hmm. And,
it's Christmas.
I want to take them and do some things with them. So I may miss a day this week. But other than that, it's still work time. You know, the season's not over. Just because I'm not playing doesn't mean the season's over. I still have to come in, work, and get better. That's what I'm about. Like I said, I love this sport, so I have to be around it. That's why, I have to be up here and be in the film room and those types of things.
When you look back on your career in 10 years, you'll have a couple of these little, that was one injury, I had to work through this, and then, something else. There's always obstacles. There's always going to be obstacles you probably don't expect. And Barry, we lost you on the cell, but you called us back. Appreciate it, bro. Welcome to the show.
Merry Christmas to both of you. The question is, Gerald, your injury, was it a bicep, a tricep? And if it was a bicep, where did it tear?
Oh, yeah, it was a bicep, and it kind of tore off in my forearm, more around. Kind of in the forearm, but closer to the elbow. And
so they didn't have to drill a hole through your forearm?
No. It tore off clean. And the great thing about my injury is that when they just put, all they had to do is reattach it like a puzzle piece. They put it back in, and it'll be like it never happened when, I heal back up.
You'd be just doing those big 150-pound curls.
Yeah, man.
Nice. Outstanding. I tore mine on my shoulder, and it healed by itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to go in. I had to have surgery. They cut it open and reattached it. But it was sitting right where they made the incision. It was sitting right there. So the doc told me he cut it open, and it was sitting right there. It really, literally just, popped up. And he was like, oh, there it is. Pull it out. Put it back. I mean, he said surgery went well. It was very easy. And fortunately enough, mine just came off clean. It didn't shred or all that. So,
do you guys want supplements or any kind of it? I'm sorry, Barry, you're still there. Okay. Are you required to take anything to help the healing process, or is it your 23-year-old guy with amazing recuperative powers? Everything's cool.
Man, only thing I'm taking, it's just sometimes I have pain. I take my pain medicine and, it relaxes me for a little bit. And that's it.
I got to ask, Jeff Ryan did ask a question. I know you and your sister share the same household. Now, have you used this injury to, get a little extra, hey, I can't reach the remote. Could you turn the TV?
I had to wash my hand earlier. Notice I said hand.
Yeah.
One. I had to wash my hand earlier. Yeah, that's about it.
You haven't milked the injury is what I'm saying. You need to milk this thing.
I can try, but it's not going to work with my sister, man. She go, boy, if you don't get up and go get it yourself, that's just how she's not going to make me weak. No sympathy from my sister.
My arm.
I can do that. It's not going to work.
No.
She'll be like, oh, yeah, your arm. And she'd go right in her room.
Very nice. Gerald is a man of faith, and he applies that faith not just to his life but his career, and he always comes back. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about how he goes to the Bible for his inspiration, and we might be able to sneak you in. We've still got some minutes left with Gerald McCoy on Tuesday night, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's Gerald McCoy. I'm Ledge. It's the Gerald McCoy Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.
Lynch.
All right, guys, welcome back. You get a text, huh?
I got a text.
Sure.
Let me shout out my boys at American Dream Barbershop. They keep me fresh every week. My barber, Gino, just shot me a text. It said, go Magic. Okay, look, the Orlando Magic are good. I'm sorry I left them out. They have, probably the most dominant big man in the game in Dwight Howard, and they just picked up Gilbert Arenas and Jason Richardson, and they got Turkoglu back, who was great for them in the playoffs a few years ago when the Lakers beat them, by the way. I'm just saying.
Can they go all the way? The thing with the Magic is they always stumble.
The Magic will go far, and even if the Magic make it to the finals, most likely they will face the Lakers, and I'm just guessing it's going to be the same outcome. But shouts out to the Magic. They are a great team, and they holding it down. So.
I'm not sure what you want to talk about, so you go ahead and talk about your scripture, and because I'm not sure what you want to apply it to. I don't know.
Well, scripture tonight is just it's very basic, and it's just why I am the way I am and why, my faith stays close to me. I was raised that way. I was raised to be that way, and then I just embraced it, and I want to be, and I need to be. But it all started with my foundation, which was my parents. And that's just where I get it from. And scripture tonight comes out of Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And, it's just basically saying your parents teach you certain things for a reason. They have nothing but your best interest at heart. So keep those things dear to your heart, and it'll help you in life. And, my faith was, taught to me by my parents, and that's how it grew so strong in my life. And it started out with me just doing what my parents said, but then it eventually stuck with me, and that's why I am the way I am today.
Kind of became your core. Yeah. How did, obviously, you, if you're a Christian, you're Christmas is a big time of year for you as well, so just give me a couple seconds on how important Christmas is to you and your family.
Christmas is a time to, the real reason for Christmas is to, celebrate, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being born. And it's a time to think about and remember family and for families to be close. That's why my family is in town. We always embrace the real reason. My family, one thing we do before we open presents is we get together and we hold hands and we thank God for sending his son, to die on the cross for our sins. And we always do that every Christmas because we embrace and know the real reason for Christmas. But then, once we recognize God first, then, there's been some things added to it where there are presents and there's time for family and time to fellowship with your family. So we just embrace that and we have fun with it. We play family games and we have a game the next day here. So, I'll be with my family for a little bit and then I'll come back for meetings and, all that different stuff. So, it's a little different now. In college, I would be with my family the whole day. Sometimes we would travel on to the bowl game. I think they may be traveling to the bowl game this year because they play on the first. On Christmas Day. So, but Christmas is huge in my life.
All right, no high fives. That's my law. No high fives with the left arm anyway.
All right.
All right. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Thanks, man.
You got it. So appreciative to everybody that takes part of our program, guys like Mike and Chris and Barry and Calvin and other people are actually good callers tonight. Appreciate you. Jeff, who do we have tomorrow night? Corey Lynch is stopping in tomorrow night to talk Bucks ball. We will talk to you then. You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night, everybody. Riley Town.
You've been listening to the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 103.5, the home of Buccaneers football.